Blessing was only 12 years old, facing life alone as her mother succumbed to cancer. She was taken out of Nigeria by human traffickers under a false promise of finding a better life. You're listening to Our Global Neighborhood, a weekly conversation with our neighbors who came from abroad and put down roots up north. I'm Kendra Carr. Immigration continues to be a divisive issue, even as the coronavirus dominates the headlines. This interview was recorded in January before the COVID-19 stay-at-home order. Our next guest took a harrowing journey across Africa, ending up in Morocco, where she would spend 4 years under increasingly desperate conditions. Thanks for joining me, Blessing.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and pick up your story in Morocco. You're 16 years old. How did you end up leaving Morocco? What happened?
I met somebody who kind of knew what I was going through and was like, why don't you go to the UN? Maybe they could help you. So I was kind of scared going because you have to stand outside. You have to wait for your name to be called for you to go in and get paper. And it was really outside, close to the road. But eventually one day I just like, never mind, I will just go. And so I think for about a month, then they called and they were like, you need to come now. We need to see you. So I went back there and they told me, oh, now you're officially a refugee. But still, I wasn't convinced because everybody around me keeps saying, the UN don't really help Nigerians because of how they feel about Nigerians. So I shouldn't waste my time. I kind of believed them over the UN because I've never really had anybody talk about UN before. So for like several months, I never went back to UN. I changed my number. I met somebody again who was like, what are you going to do about yourself? What are you going to do about your life? And I was like, nothing. Because at that point, I've already given up. Nothing I want to do. I wasn't dreaming. So I was like, at that stage where I'm just patiently waiting for death to come to me. Like, anything happen, I don't care.
But you ended up giving it a try and going back to the UN. What happened the second time?
It's a small place. So it's just two people running it. So, but when this person was talking to me, it was different. Like, telling me, do you want a second chance? Do you know you can make it? If you believe, there is support, there is hope for you, there is a better future, you can start all over again. You are the author of your story. I was staring at her, not because, like, I was like, is this real? Is this like a dream? Like, because most all my life I've grown with my own black skin people, and I was feeling, is this kind of a trick? Or something, like, I didn't believe, like, if she was being sincere to me or if she was just trying to get me, like, who do I believe? I stay with the people I think I love and I want them to love me, but they keep kicking me out. They keep shutting me out. So it was kind of confusing. And this person is white, telling me these nice things. And the other person who was black was like, girl, you have to do something about yourself. Like, You just can't stay here forever without any hope, without, just give it a try. So I went back and the first thing I was like, can I get a place to stay? Like, I need somewhere to stay. I need somewhere to go away from the people that are treating me bad. Then they gave me a place and I stayed with other refugee of my age and we all lived together there.
So when you were with the other refugee children, you were still in Morocco at that point then?
Yes, I was still in Morocco. Mm-hmm.
So do you remember when you realized you were really going to go to the United States?
Yeah, like, so after we signed, what they do, they take us for physical checkup and all the things necessary they need to do. The next day, they called me to come into the office and they gave us like $100 so we can get stuff for ourselves and start arranging. When I went in and they gave me the money, I don't know why, but I just started crying. I wasn't crying because I was like, oh, finally, I'm going to this place, so I'm going to live happily. But I was crying because it was like, finally, I'm about to leave this place. That was all I was thinking. Like, I'm going to leave this place, this circle of people who just keep confusing me. One minute they love me, the next minute they want me to act like an adult, the next minute they are judging me. Like, it was confusing, and I was happy, I was sad. It was just like a mixed feeling. Then exactly 12, my phone rang and the person was like, come downstairs. I put on my clothes, go to the airport. We got inside the plane and luckily I was sitting at the window.
Had you ever been on a plane before?
No, I've never been. So when I got down to Travel City, that night I could not sleep. Like, I just kept looking everywhere. And it snowed that day. Everywhere was white. Like,
had you seen much snow?
No, like everything was confusing to me. Like when I got to Travel City and I got home, everything was just confused. I was like, wait a minute. Where am I? How did I come here? What happened? Like I just wanted explanation because everything was different. Like every single person I've seen smile at me. They are interested to know about me, about where I come from. It was like, this is a movie. In the morning, oh my God, I played in the snow that I had frostbite. Like I didn't know it was kind of cold. I just thought it's snow that is falling. So I went out with her, just short sleeve with pants, and I was playing with it. And she was like, no, you have to come in and wear a jacket. I'm like, nope, I'm enjoying this. I'm having fun. When I was done, I had frostbite in my arms and my legs when I was playing. And I thought like, it was beautiful. The houses, the street.
What do you think America gains by resettling refugees from other parts of the world?
I think America is not just because of its technology, because America is like the only hope most people have. This place is a place of opportunity, a place where you can come and you're free. You have, at least you have freedom. You have the opportunity to be who you want to be. A lot of people rely on this country. A lot of people have become something from nothing because of this country. We are not asking for a bag of money. We are not asking for flashy cars and the big houses. All we are asking for is just the opportunity, the tools, the material, the chance to be able to earn all of that on our own, through our own hard work. We are not saying give us your entire table to eat on. We are just saying give us food. We're not saying give us your country. We are just saying accept us, love us, let us be able to dance in your snow and play with your kids and go out and show forth our talent and be able to become something in life. I don't know where I would have been if I hadn't come here.
Let's talk a little bit about what life is like today. I understand you're currently with a foster family who you love very much.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about them?
Coming from where I'm coming from, and today, it's a very big difference. Like, being in the stage where I feel, where I was patiently waiting for death, like, I had no option, I had no dream, I had no imagination. Like, to be here today, where I am, wake up every morning and say, Dad, good morning, or Mom, good morning. Having the opportunity to be a child, a teenager, and sometimes an adult, having the ability to be called by my family, what is your own decision? What is your own say? It's amazing. Every day I wake up, I'm like, if this is a dream, trust me, I do not want to wake up from it. Like, every morning, my dad is like, oh, you look so beautiful. My mom is like, wow, I like this hairstyle. I like, I don't know how to put it, but finally having a family that I could rely on, that I can count on, that can, I'm sure they were going to protect me. They are going to love me. It's, I don't know, should I say it's crazy? It's crazy. Like, they are always there. You know, they're always there to listen. We talk about everything. Like, I can't imagine hiding something from them. To that point, like, they're so open-minded. They love me. Like, the way they treat me is like my mom gave birth to me. Because it's strange. Like, I came into the family. I was accepted. I feel like I'm home. This is where I belong.
I find that everybody has a story about their name. I was just curious if you had a story about your name.
Well, I don't really know the real story, but the only thing I can remember that was told about my name, she said I was a gift. Like, when she had me, she knew I was destined for something. And my native name is Ogenekewe, which means God has given me. Like, you can put anything out, like, God has given me joy, God has given me happiness. And today, I see that in my life. God has given me an amazing family. God has given me the opportunity to be able to be successful in life. God has given me amazing people around me. God has given me joy.
And thank you for joining us for this week's conversation. You can see images of Blessing on our website at iprnews.org. And next week is our final conversation, so if you enjoyed our global neighborhood, please be sure to let us know. You can also catch up on past episodes at our website, iprnews.org. Thank you to our producer, Karen Siegel, and a special thank you to Blessing for for sharing her story.
Your love.